Father, what blessed assurance we have because of Christ. Thank you for him, the good shepherd. Father, might he be increased in our hearts as we see him tonight. Amen. Well, there are only two things wrong with churches, I think. Pastors and people. I think that's what we saw in our reading, wasn't it? First, some pastors rule over their sheep, plundering their goods. Verse 2 made that clear. If you've closed that reading, please do open up Ezekiel 34 again. I forget what page it is, but I understand there's a contents page at the beginning. 865. Thank you. 865, please. And have a look with me at verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Some pastors rule over their sheep, plundering their goods. But before all the sheep can claim some sort of victim status, exempting them from guilt, have a look at verse 17. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? See, some sheep rule over other sheep, plundering their goods. It's my estimation that many people leave Christianity not just because of theology, but because they've been hurt by a pastor or fellow sheep. And, you know, the chapter could look like depressing reading, couldn't it? Abusive church leaders, abusive church followers. But it would if it wasn't for verse 22. Have a look at that verse 22 with me. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. How is God going to deal with the problem of pastors and people? He's going to remove the abusive leaders and judge the abusive people. And he will do so by installing his one shepherd king. Here the king is called David, the shepherd boy David being the model for God's chosen king in the Old Testament. But as Peter declares on the day of Pentecost, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ is the king who is meant by David here. God's chosen king. Not the model for God's chosen king, but the real thing. And look at the role of the king. He is to be the shepherd. And in view of the context that God is removing abusive shepherds to replace them with the one good shepherd, that means Jesus must be the good shepherd. That's the claim the passage is making. That's the claim that, of course, many of us will know that Jesus made. He is the good shepherd. If we had more time tonight, I'd have spent the first half of our sermon looking at the good shepherd versus the abusive shepherds, and the second half looking at the good shepherd versus the abusive sheep. However, tonight we only have time to look at one of those. So we turn our attention to the good shepherd versus the abusive shepherds. And as we see the contrast between the pastoral care of the abusive shepherds and the pastoral care of Jesus, it is my prayer that we will continue to put our hope in the pastoral care of Jesus. Because have a look again at verse 2. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? Did we see the root of the problem? Did we see what drives the pastors to abuse their sheep? Take a moment again, look at those verses for yourself and discover why. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Abusive shepherds only take care of themselves. That is the root of the problem. Their hearts look within to their own well-being. And because of their selfish hearts, the sheep suffer in three ways. Have a look at verse 3. You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. First, the abusive shepherds exploit their sheep. People are a wonderful gift from God. Those who love Jesus will sacrifice their time, they will give up their money, and use their talents in his service. And so that is an easy exploit for any abusive pastor. And so abusive pastors will ask for money to improve their own lifestyle. They will use the talents and time of those who suit their personal agendas. And if you stop being useful, you're thrown to the side in pursuit of personal gain. Abusive pastors see sheep as either obstacles to overcome or vehicles to drive their passions. How different was Jesus? He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't take the wool from his sheep. He didn't self-serve by chopping them up and consuming them. No, he didn't break the body of his own sheep. He broke his own body. He didn't strip them of their wool, but stripped himself naked so he could hang on a cross. Jesus didn't serve himself. He served others and gave his life as a ransom. Did he not say, I am the good shepherd? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Hired hands, pastors who do not care for the sheep, care not if they suffer when a wolf comes. I think that was clear in our own reading. Have a look at verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forest in safety. If the pastors are the abusive leaders and the sheep are the people, who are the savage beasts, the wolves of the land? Well, the problem we've seen in Ezekiel is it's the nations who have destroyed God's people. And why are the nations in the land destroying God's people? Is it not because God has used them as an instrument of his judgment because of his sheep's sin? That's why a covenant of peace is required. Notice who the covenant of peace is with. It's with God. And then he rids the land of the savage beasts. Only once his righteous judgment is satisfied can the sheep sleep in safety. And notice the implication for the good shepherd. The good shepherd deals with the savage beasts by laying down his life. An abusive pastor, even if they could satisfy the judgment of God, would run away because they self-serve. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life on the cross, shouldering the punishment of God's righteous judgment so the sheep can have peace with God. Abusive pastors have selfish hearts and so exploit the sheep. The good shepherd has a righteous heart, so lays down his life for them. Second, because the abusive pastors have selfish hearts, they rule harshly and brutally. Have a look at verse 4. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. When the heart is selfish, it will employ any measure to gain what it naively believes will make it happy. There is a real blindness in selfish people. I was listening recently to a podcast in which someone said this. They said, I need someone who listens to me, can emotionally engage with my needs, support me, encourage me, and enable me to flourish. And when the interviewer tried to show them how many times they'd used the words, I, me, my, the person couldn't see it. They were blind to their own selfishness. Now that person was potentially only destroying themselves by their selfishness. But imagine combining a selfish heart with a position of authority. What happens then when the selfish heart doesn't get what it wants? Harshness and brutality. Those on side with the pastor get exploited. Those who oppose the pastor are ruled over harshly and brutally. And in the end, even those who get exploited fall under the harshness and brutality of a pastor who has trained their hearts to only deal with people that way. And yet, what did the good shepherd say? You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Pastors are to be the slaves of the sheep. They rule by serving. The good shepherd gave up his throne in heaven and exchanged it for the glory of a cross, a glory which came at the cost of his literal life. Even in heaven, he continues to serve us. Listen to this description of heaven and the description of the Lamb, Jesus, in this passage. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb is at the center of the throne, Jesus, the King. He has the power to harshly and brutally rule over us. But he doesn't. He uses his power as king to serve his people gently. He lovingly brings them to eternal life in heaven and kindly showers them with a comfort and love so that they have no more tears. Jesus is the good shepherd who serves us in kindness and love. Third, because abusive pastors have selfish hearts, they actively fail to seek lost sheep. Have a look at verse 5. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. The harsh and brutal behavior of the abusive pastors scatters the sheep. And this puts them in great danger. And the abusive pastors, whose very job it is to care for the sheep, fail to care for them by failing to seek them. That is the thing that God gets angry at here. Have a look at verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Abusive shepherds actively fail to seek the lost because they care for themselves. Remember when Jesus was pastoring tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And in response, Jesus told them a parable. You may remember it. He says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Now, by 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent, Jesus is referring to those who think they are not lost, and yet they are, and they need a pastor to find them. But notice who the 99 are. The 99 are the Pharisees. They are the lost because they fail to repent of abusively ruling over their sheep. And yet, did we see the beauty in what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is doing? He's telling them the parable. He's seeking them so they might repent and there be a party in heaven over them. He's seeking the lost. Can we see why we need to put our hope in the pastoral care of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? He is the Good Shepherd, and that is not surprising. Have a look at verse 11. "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, 'I myself will search for my sheep and look after them.'" Look at verse 12. "As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness." Again in verse 13, "I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land." Verse 14, "I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land." Verse 15, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord." And verse 16, "I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." The Lord is the Good Shepherd. Ever since Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it was said of God that he was Israel's shepherd who watches over his people. What is arguably the most famous psalm? "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake." He's the God who tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. The Lord is the Good Shepherd. And that is why Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Only he among us is Lord. It was prophesied in the famous Christmas reading about the Christ being born in Bethlehem that he would stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's the one who cares for his flock because he has the heart of God. A heart that is not selfish but selfless. Not self-serving but servant-hearted. Not devoted to being served, but devoted to serving others. Jesus doesn't exploit the flock. He edifies them so they flourish. Jesus doesn't harshly and brutally rule over the flock. He gently listens to them and provides for all their needs. Jesus doesn't leave the lost sheep to the dangers of the wilderness. He seeks them out at a great cost to himself and brings them home over his shoulders. Jesus is the good shepherd. It is through him that we can grasp verse 31 of our reading. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Now I say all this not because I think David, poor I, are abusive shepherds, but I want to present Jesus, the good shepherd, as the one we place our trust in, not David, poor I. Jesus is the good shepherd, and those who he has placed on earth to lead his church, surely their job is to point to him. He is the good shepherd. May the good shepherd be the delight of our hearts, and may he be the reassurance we need if we ever suffer under abusive shepherds. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much that Jesus is the good shepherd. We thank you that we can shelter under him in safety, that he has paid for the sin in each of our hearts. And we pray that we can trust him, that he will provide all we need in this life as he leads us home to heaven and looks after us forever in eternal life, where indeed every tear will be wiped away. Amen.